You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
The holidays are officially here now, which means that we're all about to be surrounded by family and a completely ridiculous amount of food. There will be turkey, potatoes, stuffing, mac and cheese, cakes, cookies, just all sorts of delicious stuff to pop the button off of your khakis. The thing is, as I've gotten older, and in particular in the last couple of years, I've noticed a real decline in the amount of food that I can eat. I used to pride myself, I don't know if pride is the right word, but I used to be able to put down some impressive amounts of food. Buffets would lock the door when they saw me coming, but I just can't do it anymore. I've turned into that old person who complains about the large portions when I go to a restaurant. Here's the kicker, though. You would think, maybe with how much less I'm able to eat, that maybe I would lose a couple of pounds. Well, you would in fact be wrong. In fact, this past year or so, I've actually put on about 20 pounds. I've been the same exact weight for 2 decades with the same horrible eating habits. And now that I'm eating half the amount of food that I used to, I'm struggling to fit into my clothes. Thank you, middle-aged metabolism. So I'm going to sit down this Thanksgiving and I'm going to get full after just half a plate of food, and I'm still going to blow up so much that they're going to tie a rope to my leg and float me down 34th Street while Al Roker points and makes fun of me. I like to think of myself as a fairly smart individual. Not like overly intelligent, but I'm no idiot. Heck, when I look around Twitter these days, I get the sense that I might even be above average. My point is that I don't often find myself too confused at the end of games or movies with complicated plots. I followed along with Inception and The Matrix just fine. After finishing up Somerville, though, I wonder if maybe I've been giving myself too much credit, because as the credits rolled and I set down the controller, I realized that I had absolutely no idea what in the world had just happened. We'll get to the end of the game in a bit, though. Don't worry, no spoilers. Somerville is the first game from developer Jumpship, which is made up of former Playdead developers and the team responsible for the highly acclaimed Limbo and Inside games. So if you've played either of those great games, you'll have a pretty good idea of what to expect from Somerville. It's a 2D side-scroller with some puzzle elements and an interesting narrative told completely without words. This game sticks pretty close to that original formula, with the one exception being that there's a bit more movement within a 3D space instead of strictly sticking to that 2D plane. If you watched the really awesome trailer for the game that was shown off a couple of years ago, you know the basic premise. A young family is asleep in front of the television on a peaceful night when some terrible calamity occurs, which rattles them awake. The house shakes and lights flash from outside the window. Is it aliens? Zombies? Has Skynet reached sentience and Judgment Day is finally here? You don't know. but you need to find a way to keep your wife, your young child, and your puppy dog safe as you try and escape. I obviously won't say too much about the story, as that's the main attraction for these kind of games, but the early moments give off a very strong War of the Worlds vibe, which I love, and it does a fantastic job of setting the mood. It is tense and unsettling to flee your home in the middle of the night from a danger that you don't understand. And there are some real genuinely creepy moments that come from both the mysterious nature of the attack and the fact that you don't have any way to fight back against it. So I was super invested after the opening of this game. As you run, you'll make your way through a world that's already been ravaged by this attack. You'll come across ruined towns, camps of survivors, and you'll get just a little glimpse of the terror that is always just on your heels. Like I said, there is no combat in this game. It's a completely passive experience that has you taking in the story as you progress. But there are puzzle elements in the game that stem from a mysterious ability that you gain that lets you use light to interact with the environment around you. I won't say too much more specifically about it because, like I said, this game is very sensitive to spoilers. But there's nothing too mind-bending in here. But some of the puzzles do get a little bit tricky to understand, what exactly the game wants you to do. Part of this, again, is coming from the complete lack of dialogue or text instructions. You just need to kind of figure it out. In fact, I spent a lot of the game just trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. There are times when the camera is pulled back so far and your character is so small on the screen that I had a hard time seeing the little visual clues that are supposed to nudge you in the right direction. Part of that might be my old eyeballs, which are past their warranty. But I did need to switch to my Xbox in my family room, which is on a much larger television, in order to get a better idea of what was going on. I had some other issues with the game, like getting stuck in the environment due to the path being unclear. I'd get stuck on some object, and it just wasn't visually clear enough how to get around. And there's just a general level of unpolish across the entire game. Nothing game-breaking necessarily, but nagging visual glitches and bugs that happen just enough to be annoying. It kind of feels like the game just came out a little bit before it was ready, and hopefully they can patch some of this stuff post-launch. Despite those issues, I definitely did enjoy my time with Somerville. The tone and visual style are fantastic, and through about 3/4 of the game, I was really pulled into the narrative. They do a good job, for the most part, of telling their story, but holy cow, does the last quarter really go off of the deep end. The last hour or so is just a series of increasingly confusing events that left me unable to say really at all how the game ends. I can't say if it's a bad ending or a good ending because I legit don't know what happened. I saw things happening, but I can't tell you what any of it meant. I've heard there are multiple endings, so maybe that could clear up some things if I saw them, or maybe I'm just not as smart as I thought I was. The game is available on Xbox Game Pass, so if you like that style of game and you've played Limbo and Inside, I would still recommend this. It only took about 4 hours or so to complete the game, so it's not a major time commitment, but the ending just really left me unsatisfied because I was really digging it up to that point. Today is Thanksgiving Day here in the United States, a day for feasts, family, and brushing under the rug the true history of the holiday, which includes deadly disease, a bloody war, and the decimation of the indigenous people who lived here first. But we all really love roasted sweet potatoes, right? Despite the horrible, you know, origin of the holiday and the way that white people have rewritten history, Thanksgiving can still be a time to get together with family and reflect on the year. 2022, for me, has been tumultuous, to say the least. It's been both difficult and transformative. I've struggled with my own health, both physically with my diagnosis of an autoimmune disease and getting COVID. Thank you, Florida. And emotionally, as I've struggled with my anxiety, and my family has struggled with a number of issues like the growing pains of starting new schools and other things that have really taken their toll on us. All told, it's been a very difficult year. When I step back, though, and look at the big picture, I realize that for as tough as this year has been, and it's been a doozy, I'm also incredibly lucky and thankful for all that I have and how well my family's doing. I have the most amazing and supportive wife in the world. She is the foundation that holds this family up, and I would be lost without her. I have two absolutely amazing kids. They are strong and courageous and brilliant, and they make all of the tough times worthwhile. And career-wise, both my wife and I are in the best places we've ever been in. We're in a position to be able to provide well for our family and create great memories, like our trip to Orlando this year, which was fantastic. And we're even talking about a European vacation in the near future. So there were moments this year when it was hard to see, you know, anything but the pain and the hardship at the time. But I know that those moments were temporary, and I truly feel like the luckiest man in the world for everything that I have. I hope you've all had a good year, and that you've been able to reflect on the positive moments this year. I'm also very thankful for you, for all of you who have supported me over the years and have continued to support me in this new chapter of my life. So thank you. And go eat some stuffing. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. You can catch new episodes every Thursday morning, wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. And you can follow us on Twitter or Hive, where we go by Midlife SQ. Until next week, stay positive and keep playing.